Today is Dalat Shvat. Dalat Shvat is the Yahrzeit of the Sfas Emes. The Friedrich Rebbe told someone, there was Rabbi Yaakov Lando. Told Rabbi Yaakov Lando, Rabbi Yaakov Lando told it to a Yid that I heard it from, that when he went to visit Poland before the Nesias, when the Rebbe Rashab was still the Rebbe, his father, the Rebbe Rashab, told him that when he goes to Poland for various askanas tziburis, for various issues that the Rebbe Rashab needed to take care of, so he told him that while you're there, you should go visit the Polish tzaddikim, the Rebbes of Poland. And the Friedrich Rebbe told Rabbi Yaakov Lando that he was impressed with three of them. One of them was the Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe, and the other one was the Sfas Emes. The third one I don't remember, but the Sfas Emes, he said, what happened is that Friedrich Rebbe dressed like a businessman, didn't dress like a Rebbe or anything. And when he came to Ger, to go into Sfas Emes for Yechidus, he went to the Gabbai and gave him an extra few coins. He would let him in front of the line because there were long lines to wait to go in since the Friedrich Rebbe didn't have a lot of time. So he gave the attendant of the Sfas Emes a few zlotys. So he would let him in the front. And the guy did so, and the Friedrich Rebbe was led into the room of the Sfas Emes. When Sfas Emes saw him, he went over to the door, and the Friedrich Rebbe showed his hand, and he locked the door. The lock was on top of the door. He locked the door, and then he turned to the Friedrich Rebbe and said, "Are you a descendant of the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya?" Friedrich Rebbe said, "Yes." He says, "Because the Baal HaTanya left a certain tzura, a certain face, a certain image on his descendants." And then he said to the Friedrich Rebbe that in Tanya, every word is like raging fire, sparks of fire. So the Friedrich Rebbe in the letter alluded to this, in actually to this Yechidus, to this encounter he had with the Sfas Emes, where he describes what the Sfas Emes told him about Sefer HaTanya. So Sfas Emes, in this week's I thought we say a vort in Sfas Emes, interesting vort, which is something relevant today. We see it, especially those who are on Shlichas, can actually see and testify to that. It says that Mishchu k'chu lachem, the Eibush said to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people to do the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. Mishchu k'chu lachem, pull back and take for yourself, say, a lamb that you can offer as a Korban Pesach. What is Mishchu? Pull back what? So Chazal say, Rashi brings it, Mishchu yedeichem avodah zarah, pull back from being involved in avodah zarah, and then instead reach out to get a lamb that you can use as a Korban Pesach. So it's interesting that the Eibush has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that the Yidden need to sort of exert some effort to wean themselves from avodah zarah. That means that the Jews, by default, were quite attached to Avodah Zarah. And they needed special instruction for the Eibush to say, disengage from Avodah Zarah so you can engage in divine service and serve Hashem with the Korban Pesach. So it's interesting, the Jews must have been a very low level and steeped in Avodah Zarah, and Hashem had to tell them to pull out of Avodah Zarah. Then we see a few days later, when they're actually going out of Mitzrayim, it says, they left Mitzrayim without any food, except for the matzah, which was leftover matzah from the Seder they took with them. But they didn't prepare real food for the way. They didn't prepare for them real food for the way. Chazal say that here, in this moment, Jews demonstrated their incredible, extraordinary trust in Hashem. And the Navi Yirmiyahu echoed this many generations, many centuries later, where he said, that Hashem is saying, I remember the kindness and the trust that you had in me in your youth when you were young. That means when you were just becoming a nation, coming out of Mitzrayim. That you were willing, lechtacha chai b'midbar, you were willing to leave Mitzrayim, which was a secure place. There were slaves, but they had food and everything. And you left everything, all your security, and you went into a midbar, trusting that I would take care of you. Without providing any natural resources for yourself, you trusted me. So here we see a leap from one extreme to another in a very short period of time. One day they're steeped in avodah zarah, and the next day, not only they're not worshiping idols, but they demonstrate this extraordinary trust in Hashem. From one extreme to another, which is very unusual. It's very bizarre. But the answer is that a Yid be'etzem, be'pnimius, is connected to Hashem all the time. The fact that he's steeped in avodah zarah for a while, that's only b'chitzenius. The moment you withdraw from the chitzenius of the avodah zarah, mishchu yadechem, automatically what kicks in is the natural self. So it's not surprising that they can make this transition so rapidly, so instantaneously, that from one moment they're in one extreme, in an extreme low, and the next moment suddenly they exhibit an extreme high, a very high level of total trust in Hashem. And he says this nekuda, this point, is echoed in a few places in the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says, Be'etzem ayom hazeh, on that very day, Hoytzi Hashem, Tzivos Hashem, the Yidden call Al Tzivosom, the armies of Hashem, the Yidden call the armies of Hashem the moment they leave Mitzrayim. At one point, they're slaves to Paro, and not just slaves, Begashmias. They're enslaved to the whole culture and ideology of Paro. They're steeped in avodah zarah. In the next moment, they're Hashem's army. And when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Butzeachas Ome Mitzrayim," the moment you take out the Jews of Mitzrayim, "Tavda Nusolakim al Hor Hazeh." How does this conversion from being in Mitzrayim to "Tavda Nusolakim al Hor Hazeh" happen instantaneously? The Rebbe said, "Butzeachas Ome Mitzrayim." The moment you take it out of Mitzrayim, they already be Oved Hashem. How does this happen so quickly? Is because the essence is always there. It's only artificially and b'chitzonius that they were steeped in the opposite. We see this all the time with Jews, Jews that are so far away from anything. I once had a Jew that told me he grew up in Portugal. He's never seen tefillin in his life, never seen Shabbos, kashrus. He's a psychiatrist. He grew up all his life in Portugal in a village where all the Maranos used to live. Maranos used to live as Maranos until famous fascist from Spain died. So he grew up when there were still Maranos were still hiding. They were afraid to identify as Jews. And he moved to our town years ago and became a psychiatrist. So once he showed up at my house, I asked him if he ever saw tefillin. And says, no. But you know, he's a Jew. And, you know, they always knew they were Jewish. So I put on tefillin with him. I said, do you want to put on tefillin? He said, he doesn't know what it is. As soon as I put on the shalyad, and I told him to say the bracha after me word for word, the guy simply broke down in hysterics. And I couldn't understand. The guy has never seen tefillin. He's never practiced anything. Because they weren't allowed to. They felt that they weren't allowed to. They felt they had to hide. What made him cry suddenly? What touched him so deeply? And I realized what Chassidus is saying. The Yid is be'etzem connected to Lakus. Tefillin touched something genuinely, something that genuinely connected with his essence. The fact that there were layers and layers of foreign stuff that concealed this, once you remove it slightly, the emes comes bursting out.